From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here's the news, first headlines. Thai Army Chief learning about Aceh conflict handling. South Korean Foreign Minister, U.S. State Secretary discuss North Korea, Middle East, and Seoul. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Daulat Pane. Thai Army Chief General Apirat Kongsongpong is visiting Aceh province to learn how it will handle conflicts. Indonesian Army Chief of Staff General Andika Perkasa geographically sat at the Iskandar Muda Regional Military Command headquarters in Banda Aceh, capital of Aceh province, that Aceh is an Indonesian province closest to Thailand. Apirat visited the westernmost Indonesian province to see for himself all the dynamics in the province. Aceh suffered a protracted conflict between the separatist movement and the Indonesian government for nearly three decades before both sides signed a peace agreement in Helsinki, Finland on August 15, 2005. Aceh continued to rise in the wake of the armed conflict and tsunami by improving infrastructure and promoting civilization within its tranquil society and mutual understanding. Thailand has three conflicting provinces in its southern part. They have many things in common with Aceh, including religion and culture. Aceh has the freedom to lead a peaceful life under the Indonesian constitution. South Korean Foreign Minister Kang Kyung-hwa has held talks with United States Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to discuss the situation in the Middle East and the Korean Peninsula, the South Korean Foreign Ministry said in a statement. The talks were held on Tuesday in San Francisco. The minister and the Secretary of State have exchanged assessments of the situation around issues pertaining to the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, opinions about the inter-Korean relations, resumption of U.S.-North Korea dialogue, and preservation of the driving force in nuclear talks based on unwavering cooperation between the United States and South Korea. According to the statement, Kang and Pompeo have also expressed concerns with regard to the situation with the recent escalation of tensions in the Middle East and have agreed to make efforts together with the international community for a continuous restoration of peace and stability in the region. The same two topics were discussed in a trilateral format among Kang, Pompeo, and their Japanese counterpart Toshimitsu Motegi. Additionally, Kang and Motegi held a separate bilateral meeting to discuss the trade strife between Japan and South Korea. Australian Open 2020 tennis tournament has an obstacle on qualifying round due to thick smoke which covered Melbourne on Tuesday evening. The tournament of the second qualification was forced to stop for 1 hour due to many athletes who experienced respiratory problems. Escorted by ABC News, Craig Talley, director of Australian Open Tournament, mentioned his reason to stop the competition.
The health and well-being of not only the players, the fans, our staff is of utmost importance. The long-term forecast and even the short-term forecast is good, and we'll just take it day at a time.
Canadian athlete Eugene Bouchard said that there should be certain regulation on air quality so that when it does not meet the specified condition, the tournament will not be conducted. Fire season 2019 to 2020 is a season of prominent intensity comparing previous one because it has burned around 10.7 million hectares of forest, destroyed more than 5,900 buildings and killed dozens of people. The number of people killed as a result of avalanches and landslides triggered by excessive snow and rain downpour in Pakistan has reached 93, with 53 others injured, media reported on Wednesday. According to the Dawn newspaper, the most severely affected areas are the southernmost region of Azad Kashmir, accounting to 66 fatalities, and the southwestern province of Balochistan, amounting to 20 fatalities. At least seven others reportedly died in Punjab province in northeast. Pakistani authorities fear the actual figure of casualties might be higher since several areas in Azad Kashmir's northern region of Nilam Valley remain inaccessible due to heavy snowfall. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thousands of Russian and foreign officials, business executives and bankers will gather in Moscow on Wednesday for the opening of an economic forum dubbed Russian Davos. The Gaidar Forum honors late Russian statesman and economist Yegor Gaidar, who shaped his country's economic transition in the turbulent 1990s through a series of controversial reforms. Foreign officials and business executives come to the forum to assess Russia's investment environment, while Russians hope to glean an understanding of prospects for the country's economic growth. This year's 11th edition, titled Challenges of the New Decade, will be held at Presidential Academy. It will bring together almost 15,000 participants, including some 600 guests from more than 30 countries. The two-day gathering kicks off just a week before world leaders, top executives and central bankers flock to the World Economic Forum in the Swiss Alpine resort town of Davos for their traditional annual convention. The United States government is preparing to cut $250 million in military aid to Iraq if American troops are expelled from the country, media reported. The State Department's Bureau of Near Eastern Affairs is working to cut all the $250 million in financing for Iraq for the current fiscal year, the Wall Street Journal said on Thursday, citing emails from the State and Defense Departments. On January 5, the Iraqi parliament voted to expel coalition forces over the U.S. drone attack that killed Iranian commander Qasem Soleimani near the Baghdad airport. American officials have repeatedly ruled out a complete pullback from Iraq. White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien last week said the United States would leave on its own terms. Chambers of Commerce of an industry welcomes positively the desire of United Arab Emirates to invest in Aceh province, especially in property sector. This was stated by Chairman of Chambers of Commerce and Industry of Aceh, Makmur Budiman, in Banda Aceh on Tuesday. He said that the support of investment from Middle East is not only from government, but also all components of society in the province. Makmur also said that the desire of the United Arab Emirates become mutual hope, which is expected to be pioneer and gateway for sustainable development of Arun Special Economic Zone. Makmur also valued that property industry is very suitable to be developed in Aceh Besar Regency. Well, listener, that's the news.
Today's commentary is on peace in Libya. The sound of gunfire and bomb explosions are not heard anymore at the moment in Libya. Two warring camps, namely the Government of National Accord or GNA and the Libyan National Army LNA, on January the 13th agreed to ceasefire. The agreement was reached at a meeting in Moscow, which was attended by LNA commander Khalifa Haftar and GNA leader Fayez al-Sarraj. The decision was received positively by various parties, including Russian President Vladimir Putin and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. As is known, Russia and Turkey, it supports the opposite party. Although there has been an agreement and the use of heavy weapons and bombs has not been heard anymore, but sometimes the sound of gunfire can still be heard here and there, though on a small scale. Therefore, the United Nations urges both parties to abide by the ceasefire. Calls to both parties to keep commitments were also made by the Arab League and the European Union. In Tripoli, various foreign representatives through their respective ambassadors urged the Libyan people to use this peaceful opportunity to rise and overcome various problems such as political, economic, and security. Calls to the two warring parties for an immediate end to the fighting were also conveyed by the Arab League. Conflicts and civil war have occurred in Libya since almost a decade ago. The chaos began when Muammar Gaddafi, who was the leader of the Libyan Revolution, was overthrown in 2011 through a revolution. Since then, the oil-rich Libya split into two camps, namely GNA and LNA, which respectively controlled the east and west part of the country. The conflicts have destroyed the country's economy and disrupted world oil supplies. It is in this perspective that a number of countries view the resolution of the crisis as very important so that oil supply from Libya to various countries in the world will return to normal. To what extent did the ceasefire agreed in Moscow become a momentum for peace in Libya? All depends on the further steps to be taken. The leaders of the two warring sides must be able to use the opportunity of a ceasefire to bring peace to the oil-rich nation. Well, that was commentary today on peace in Libya. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, I'll begin with January the 15th, 1929. Martin Luther King Jr. is born. Martin Luther King Jr. is a priest and anti-racism activist from the United States. The 1963 Nobel Peace Prize winner was born in Atlanta, Georgia, USA on January 15, 1929. In 1963, King led a bus boycott demonstration in Birmingham without using violence. He followed the principles of Mahatma Gandhi, who resisted by avoiding violence. As a result of his action in opposing discrimination against black people, King was imprisoned in a Birmingham prison, and his speech titled "I Have a Dream" in the march to Washington, D.C. on August 28, 1963, made him even more famous. He was shot to death in Memphis on April 4, 1968. His death caused a lot of riots and clashes in various cities in the United States. Turning to January 15, 1962, the Battle of the Aru Sea. The Aru Sea Battle was a battle that took place in the Aru Sea, Maluku, on January 15, 1962, between Indonesia and the Netherlands. This incident occurred when two Dutch destroyers, Neptune and Vreeli, attacked KRI Macan Tutul, KRI Macan Kumbang, and KRI Tiger, ships owned by the Indonesian Navy on patrol. Commodore Yosudarso took action to fight the Dutch ships in order to save the two other ships. KRI Macan Tutul, led by Commodore Yosudarso, drowned in the Aru Sea. The Commodore died in this battle after calling on his famous last message, "Stir up the fighting spirit." Every January the 15th is commemorated now as the Day of Navy Service. I'll conclude with January the 15, 1972, the signing of the Alfor Agreement. The Alfor Agreement, which was signed on January the 15, 1975, set the backdrop for Angola's independence from Portugal on November the 11th. This agreement ended the war for independence and marked the start of the Angola Civil War. It was signed by the People's Movement for Liberation of Angola, MPLA, the Angolan National Liberation Front, FNLA, the National Union for Angolan Total Independence, UNITA, and the Portuguese government. The coalition government formed by the Alfor Treaty was overthrown because of various nationalist factions. Each did not trust each other and did not want to share power. The name of the agreement comes from the place where it was signed, Alfor Village, located in the Portuguese region south of the Algarve. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Di ujung kemarau panjang yang gersang dan menyakitkan, kau datang menghantar berjuta kesejukan. Kasih, kau beri udara untuk nafasku, kau beri warna bagi kelabu jiwa. Putiran hujan mengusik impian semu. Kau hadir di sini di batas kerinduanku. Kasih, kau singkap tirai kabut di hatiku. Kau isi harapan baru untuk menyongsong masa depan bersama.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title: Indonesia United Arab Emirates agree cooperation in various sectors. Indonesia and United Arab Emirates agreed 16 cooperations in various sectors. They are 5 government to government and 11 business to business. Indonesia and United Arab Emirates agreed to join hands in a project valued $22.89 billion, and United Arab Emirates will participate in 30% of it, or around $6.8 billion. President Joko Widodo and United Arab Emirates Prince Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed witnessed the cooperation signing. That was the result of Indonesian President Joko Widodo's visit to United Arab Emirates on Sunday, January 12. After accompanying President Joko Widodo in series of state events in Abu Dhabi, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi to media in Abu Dhabi on Sunday revealed the results. Press conference was held after all state agenda of President Joko Widodo at Qasr Al Watan Palace. Minister Retno Marsudi held a press conference along with Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Investment Luhut Panjaitan, Coordinating Minister for Economy Erlangga Hartarto, State-Owned Enterprises Minister Erick Thohir, and Indonesian Ambassador for United Arab Emirates Husin Pagis. The visit of President Joko Widodo to Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, did not only result in business agreements. There were also non-business agreements. As quoted from presidential press release, some agreements were made in bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and Prince Mohammed bin Zayed. The 5 cooperation between both governments were religion, education, agriculture, health, and counter-terrorism. President Joko Widodo said Indonesia wanted to make United Arab Emirates as partner in modern, moderate, and tolerant Islamic education. This is very important in the effort to prevent extremism and terrorism. Cooperation to promote religious moderation concepts, tolerance, as well as to increase public awareness toward extremism became a point agreed in the bilateral meeting. Meanwhile, Prince Mohammed bin Zayed said, Indonesia is the largest Muslim population in the world. Therefore, Islam in Indonesia can be a model of peaceful Islam. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Indonesia is a paradise of natural tourism destination. One of Indonesia's regions which can be your destination is Banyuwangi. For you who have been there, certainly you know how beautiful Red Beach and another natural panorama are. There is one place which should be visited if you are in Banyuwangi, namely Songun Tourism Village. Songun is a district in Banyuwangi which is located on high land, precisely on the slope of Mount Raung. It takes around 2 hours on foot from Banyuwangi to Songun, but long trip will be paid when witnessing green landscape that makes your eyes fresh. Songun, which is geographically located at mountainous area, has many beautiful natural tourism potentials. Songun Pine Forest was officially opened for public in October 2016. The forest offers various interesting activities such as riding horse, taking pictures, or seeing scenery from tree house. Visitors only pay a ticket worth 5,000 rupiahs, while to try other vehicles such as riding horse, hammocking, or camping will be charged again. At Songun Village, you can see not only pine forest but also budding river which has heavy streaming. This can stimulate your adrenaline for rafting. Budding Songun River is categorized safe for rafting. It takes around 2 hours to finish rafting line, which has 25 rapids. For you who love to spend your time silently, you can visit Rowo Bayou. The place is a lake with green water at the middle of 8-hectare pine forest on the slope of Mount Raung. This Rowo, or in English means swamp, is a place where three springs meet, namely Sendang Keputren, Sendang Wiganga, and Sendang Kamulian, located at Bayu Village, Songun District, Banyuwangi Regency. The best time to visit Rowo Bayu is in December. At Songun, there is a beautiful waterfall, namely Temchor. Temchor is from Madura language. Temor Chora, meaning Timur Jurang, or in English means cliff at the east, because the location of the waterfall is at the east of the cliff. Trekking to the location of the waterfall takes enough energy, but it will be paid when seeing scenery along the trip. Next destination is Bejong Villa. The villa is actually not tourism object. Bejong Villa is used for guest house at night because a lot of people who share photographs Bejong Villa on Instagram. Finally, the villa is opened for public. Each visitor will be charged 5,000 rupiahs. Taking picture and enjoying the freshness of air become the main activities that can be done at the villa. The most favorite spot is at mosque. Vintage architecture of the villa with green plantations surrounding the area becomes beautiful background for selfie. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder about Songun Village. Thank you for listening.
berulang ingin bertemu. Aku punya perasaan, nampaknya kau tak mengerti. Tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku yang jatuh cinta. Aku selalu menemani saat kau rapuh dan jatuh. Namun saat kau bahagia, nampaknya ku terlupakan. Tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku yang jatuh cinta. Ingin aku jadi kekasih yang baik, berikan aku kesempatan. Oh, tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari yang jatuh cinta. Dan aku mencintamu, tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku sungguh jatuh cinta. Bukan ku tanpa alasan.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is perkenalan or acquaintanceship. Next is a conversation about perkenalan or acquaintanceship. The conversation is between Kevin and Pak Imran.
Selamat siang, Anda Kevin Smith?
Siang, iya betul.
Kenalkan, saya Imran. Saya diberi tugas oleh dekan untuk menjemput Anda.
Oh baik, nama saya Kevin Smith. Panggil saja Kevin.
After the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to that topic today. I say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kenalkan, saya Imran.
which means, "Hello, I'm Imran." "Nama saya Kevin Smith," which means, "My name is Kevin Smith." "Panggil saja Kevin," which means, "Just call me Kevin." "Nama," which means name. "Nama saya," which means my name. In the conversation, there are two persons who get acquaintanceship. One of them said, "Kenalkan saya Imran." To introduce yourself, you can start by saying kenalkan or perkenalkan. For example, kenalkan, nama saya Imran. Perkenalkan, saya Kevin. In English, "Hello, my name Imran." "Hello, I'm Kevin." In an acquaintanceship, you can say directly your name, nama saya Kevin, or just saying saya Kevin. In Indonesia, after meet someone, people usually ask about condition. For example, "Kevin, kenalkan nama saya Kevin." "Imran, saya Imran." "Kevin, oh hi Imran, apa kabar?" When get acquainted with other people, Indonesians will usually shake hands. Sometimes they shake hands with one hand using the right hand, and some others use two hands. If you use your left hand, you are considered impolite. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat siang, Anda Kevin Smith?
Siang, iya betul.
Kenalkan saya Imron. Saya diberi tugas oleh dekan untuk menjemput Anda.
Oh baik, nama saya Kevin Smith. Panggil saja Kevin.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language in the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Selalu menyakitiku, bukankah dia yang melukaimu? Mungkinkah cintamu kepada diriku tanpa kepastian? Mungkin hanya pelarian tulus kau cintai aku. Kau tak menjadari sering kau sakiti aku hingga ku kecewa. Ku tak ingin bila cinta di hatimu membayangi di antara kita. Hanya pelarian cintamu hingga tak tulus kau cintai aku.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I present a song from Central Java entitled Gambang Suling. The song Gambang Suling was composed by Kinarto Sabdo. Its lyric only consists of 5 lines, and the song Gambang Suling is about an expression of admiration for the flute instrument with a very beautiful sound. Flute can be played together with other musical instruments such as kentrung and ketipung, which produce a collaboration of beautiful rhythm. Listener, let's listen to the song Gambang Suling, sung by Soleh Akbar. Enjoy the song.
Indonesia.
hati seu hati tak takoni nang kape podo ra ngerteni lungamu ning ngendi pirang taun kon ku
of Indonesia.
Sing.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.